This is John McMullen, and you're listening to a pre-recorded show done while we're in North Wildwood, New Jersey, before returning home. I hope you enjoy it.
Spring will soon be gone.
Holiday.
Summer's coming on.
Holiday.
Diamonds dreaming on.
Holiday.
Lots of summer love. All I think about.
Holiday.
After school is out.
Holiday.
It's Sunday night, and that means it's the John Mack Radio Show. But this time, it's recorded, and I'm in North Wildwood, New Jersey. So let's get the show on the road.
Spring will soon be gone.
Holiday.
Summer's coming on.
Holiday.
Diamonds dreaming on.
Holiday.
Lots of summer love. All I think of.
Well, with our first recorded show, hopefully everything will go perfectly tonight. And speaking of perfectly, I have a poem called Perfection. I do many things well, if I may say so myself. I even do some things very well, and I do some things not so well. Ask my wife. But even for most of the things that I do very well, I don't do them perfectly. There's always something about most efforts, even this poem, that could be done better. I know, because at times, I've done some things perfectly. Well, at least one thing. I have faked my defender, dribbled into the corner, turned and gone up in the air, released, and got nothing but net. As the ball drops through when I start down the court, I know there is nothing that I could have done better at that instant. If only I could get that same feeling from many more things. Life is more than a jump shot. Good evening. This is John McMullen, also known on occasion as John Mack, welcoming you to the 141st episode of the weekly John Mack Radio Show. The recording for previous 140 shows may be found at www.johnmack13.com under the Radio Show tab. And John Mack is J-O-H-N-M-A-C, johnmack13.com. My most recent piece for Westchester Guardian is at website www.westchesterguardian.com. And Westchester Guardian is one word, WESTCHESTERGUARDIAN.com. It includes the 203rd column in the Creative Disruption series. I hope you'll read the column and then, if desired, comment to me at johnmack13@gmail.com. You'll find links, by the way, at my web home, www.johnmack13.com, to the previous radio shows. All recordings are there for the previous 140 shows. And to my online newspaper, John Max, news of the day. The newspaper is the curation of news articles from around the country and around the world. Articles relating to politics, sports, the environment, arts and entertainment, opinion and technology. And as far as technology goes, there is the real focus on artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data, and what lies ahead. Try it, and hopefully subscribe, only one email per day. But I hope you'll join us every week at 7 p.m. on Sunday evenings live, or as most, to listen later. The recordings are archived at the website I mentioned. Once again, www.johnmack13.com. And notifications of the most recent shows are sent out weekly by email and on Facebook. And now to this show, the 141st in the series. There'll be no call-ins tonight because of the pre-record. One of the guests that I've had the most frequent on the radio show out of 140 previous shows is an old friend from Minwood, John Charles Chick Donahue. Chick, if you listen to his stories, was a high school dropout, United States Marine, the Merchant Marine, the bar owner, the sand hog, a Harvard MPA, that's a master from Harvard without ever going to college, an official of the Teamster Union, the Sandhog again, and is now in his second retirement. He recently was on the show because he had been both to Northern Ireland and to the Republic for the commemoration of the 1916 Rising, as they call it, the rebellion. And there was a parade that he marched in both Dublin and the next day in Belfast. And I said, Belfast? Weren't they the other team? And he said, no, they recognized it now, too. He said, when he was marching, there was a fellow putting up a Republican flag. And he said, and 10 years ago, they would have shot him. But his most recent claim to fame was a commemoration of a of what's been called on the video that's gone viral on the internet, the longest beer run ever. It was when Chicky, as a merchant marine, delivered beer to people in combat zones in Vietnam from the old neighborhood. He told people that he was going to Saigon, and it was during the war with the merchant marines, and they said, well, you gotta buy a beer for the fellows that are over there. And he did. He found out where some of them were, and he delivered beer, and he foolishly, as he admits now, on reflection, he hitchhiked all over. And he was very lucky that he was picked up by the right people. And he happened to be over there at the beginning of the Tet Offensive. So, recently in Philadelphia, they commemorated this beer run. And it was the fundraiser, both the Marine Corps and for law enforcement. And they, it was he and three of the four people that he delivered the beer to. And also three Medal of Honor winners who were being, being recognized there. I wrote about Chicky in a story in the Inwood book that's available on Amazon, as many of you know. And then years later, when I talked to the author of a co-author for Chick of the book, both about his exploits in Vietnam and his life, and I mentioned that I had written that essay about an incident in the Broadstone, or one of the bars of choice in Inwood. I went out and I wrote the poem about it, and I will read the poem after a while. This poem was taken from an essay, really, that I wrote in 2010 called Chicken Goes to War. But in 2015, looking for a poem to read at the Narrowbox luncheon, I wrote this, and I understand that this will be in the book that Joanna de Molloy and Chicky are writing about his experiences. The original essay is contained in the Inwood book, which is available on Amazon. But the poem, here we go. When Chicky comes marching home again, the Marine, Private John Charles Donahue, was home from Palace Island, and the crowd was all where we belong at that stage of our lives, in the Broadstone. But there was sadness along with the joy, because Private Donahue was now going to Okinawa. Okinawa? Okinawa. But like MacArthur, Chick rose up on the stool and roared, "I shall return," and took off the dog tag and the chain, then handed it to Inwood's best bartender, Pat Gallagher. Then aside, George Lynch was an entertainer, a friend, and the damn good bartender. But as the pure bartender, Pat was the best. Pat always remembered what you drank, and after the third, there was always a knock on the bar. "This one's on me, Mac." I never left after the buyback. Anyway, Pat takes the chain and fastens the dog tag to the big gold chain holding the large clock over the bar. Then there it will stay until Chicky comes marching home again. Often, over the next 18 months, someone will point to the chain, then offer it to toast to Chicky, defending us in Okinawa. Okinawa? Okinawa. And then it happens, like MacArthur or John Wayne. Chick is delivered back to us, and it's off to the stone. Pat buys the few rounds for the bar. Chick reclaims his dog tag. The beer flows, and there's much singing and good cheer. After many hours, I take my leave. This has been a joyous occasion. The dog tag has been reclaimed, and Chicky has come marching home. It's a pity I didn't stay a bit longer to see our hero get in the fight by the pinball machine, hit the other miscreant over the head with the iron puck, then get barred from the joint. Drum roll, please. And the legend began to grow. The now chick, the high school dropout, is usually the only one in the room with the message from home. Tonight, I've mentioned a lot of people who I've had on the radio show. I mentioned Chick Donahue and Steve Lawrence and other people. The radio show is of particular interest to me. Obviously, you're hearing it now. This is the 141st broadcast. Then out of the previous 140, I would say that at least 120 have been unique interviews. There have been people like Chick and Jim Casey that have been on more than once. And I've also had panels at Christmas, and we've had a year-end review, and we had the writers' panel, so that was another one that wasn't unique. But the radio shows give me the chance to talk to interesting people, many of whom I did not know before, writers or other people, others that I knew slightly, like ex-Lieutenant Governor Al Davila, and others I knew well, but I wanted to get their whole story into the mix. So I enjoyed that. The radio show, and the other thing that's extremely time-consuming on my daily newspaper, are things that I do because I enjoy them, not because there's any remuneration. As a matter of fact, they both cost me money. And at some point, I'd want to do the Kickstarter to see if I could fund it. The two paying things that I have are my newspaper column, which is now biweekly, and my teaching at Purchase College of the State University of New York, which I do two semesters a year, the fall semester and the spring semester. But the other labors of love, I've always been interested both in the news and in radio, all the way back to as the child, to listening to The Lone Ranger and The Shadow and Jack Benny, through the rock and roll years and now the talk radio years. So that's what I do, and I enjoy them all, whether or not it's for enumeration or it's just because it's something that I enjoy doing. So that's that story. As Memorial Day weekend approaches in South Jersey, and we won't be here for it, they have all sorts of the nostalgia on who were the greatest entertainers here and what was done in previous times, and the living section of the Atlantic City Press has a whole bunch of the people who were known for doing things in the wild area. For instance, Chubby Checker, who was raised in the South Philadelphia Project, was just 18 when he did a dance called The Twist at the Rainbow Club in Wildwood for the very first time in 1960. And Dionne Warwick, who was from East Orange, New Jersey. Bobby Rydell, who was a Philadelphia native, but he sang many songs about the shore, about summertime, like summertime's kissing time. He's one of the people. John Bon Jovi. Taylor Swift, who grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, but her parents had the summer house in Stone Harbor, New Jersey. Bruce Springsteen, who everyone knows. Whitney Houston, who was from Newark. And the greatest of the 20th century, of course, Frank Sinatra, who was born in Hoboken, but played a lot in Atlantic City. There was also someone who I never thought of, who had who to one of his big records that ushered in the whole age, debuted in the Wildwood concert in 1954, and we'll listen to it now.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
1973, the great country singer and movie star Dolly Parton recorded the song that she wrote with country legend Porter Wagoner, who was her mentor at the time. And the song was a big hit for her. Almost 20 years later, it became an even bigger hit for another woman. Now let's listen to Dolly's version. as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, the same song was recorded as the theme from a terrific movie in 1993. It was even a bigger hit. Let's listen.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
the idea of any vacation is rest and relaxation. Now, on vacation, I still do the radio show and the daily newspaper, and while I'm away, I have to write a column. So it's not quite total not doing anything, but it's doing things that I love to do. But while I'm here, I will try to do what the Eagles advise anyhow. On a little more serious and less pleasant note than music, the topic has probably been discussed by most people in the United States, perhaps after the sex and some sports this year, has been the political campaign. And now we have two candidates, one the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, and the other the guaranteed nominee of the Republican Party, that I find both distasteful. The Hillary, I've never been able to be comfortable with. I've always felt that she was dishonest in many ways, whether it was being under fire in Iraq when she wasn't, whether it was taking home the White House dishes and other things after her being out of the White House, whether it's the email server with just other things. I've always found her untrustworthy. I also was in a room with her once, just by happenstance. She was making the speech at Monroe College, and I was picking up my teaching material in a room that the Secret Service had got cordoned off, and I had to get into it, so I did. And once I walked in, there was about 20 people in the room, and I looked over at her. Then I saw her looking at me in the way that you may have felt at times from other people, as though she was sizing me up, trying to decide, who is this guy, and what can he do for me? I agree with her on many policy items, but I don't trust her as having the wherewithal to carry it through. From some of the things that I have read or heard about the Clinton Foundation, I'm not happy with the way donations were handled. And I also am not happy with the amount of money that she's made speaking to Wall Street groups, who I would feel have to expect some kind of consideration from her should she be elected. However, she's running against Donald Trump, who I despise personally. I've never liked him even before he was a candidate, for many reasons. His naming everything after himself, him cutting out done deals and only taking credit for things that went well, and the state park in my area that's not the state park. He was able to reach an agreement with New York State that he turned over some land that he wasn't able to beat the local town out of the rezoning so he could build condos, and he turned it over to the state, cut out from under the taxes on it, and the state did absolutely nothing with the land. It's all overgrown. The Donald Trump State Park, Indian Hill campus, is locked up by chains and is totally overgrown. Now to me, the state park is either nature trails with some wooded area, some difficult area, but also some nicely cared for area, or it's the park with basketball courts and the swimming pool and other things. It certainly is not the Donald Trump State Park, Indian Hill campus. The signs on the Taconic State Parkway, they're bigger than the exit signs announcing what the state park is. And I can't stand the way that he's abused the other candidates, even those that I was not for. You don't have to have the little Marchio, the lying Ted, crooked Hillary, crazy Bernie. We should be debating policy, and we will never debate policy if he runs against Hillary, as I expect him to. All we'll hear about is Benghazi, 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 email, email, email. So I'm not happy with either. And but Trump, should he be elected, it's the first time ever that I will have not only hatred for, but disgust for, the President of the United States. There have been many presidents who I didn't agree with over the years, be it Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Bush 1, Jimmy Carter, Gerry Ford, but I didn't hate them personally. Even Dick Nixon, who I didn't trust, I felt that whatever he did that was untrustworthy to the American public, he did for what he thought was in the best interest of the United States. However, Trump, I just don't like him personally. I don't believe that he's shown any policy worth considering. Bernie Sanders, who I tend to politically agree with the things he wants to do, I'm sure that should he have gotten the nomination and been elected, that he would not be able to do the majority of them, get them through Congress. One of the benefits to his presidency might have been that he would have begun to educate or to push the American public taught understanding that we have trouble with jobs, we have trouble with income inequality, with educational loans, and things like this, things that might not have been established during his first term as president, should he have been reelected, but down the line might have moved in that direction. But I'm just very unhappy about the course of things. Then I remember when Adlai Stevenson and Robert Taft and Dwight Eisenhower were running for the presidency, or John Kennedy and even Richard Nixon. We did not have this kind of nastiness. Ronald Reagan was not a nasty person, whether or not you agreed with his policies. So I'm disheartened by this election. I normally don't get into politics on the radio show, but since I'm on vacation, can relax thinking about it. I don't know who I will vote for. The Libertarian, perhaps, the Green Party, somebody. Now, my vote really doesn't count because I live in New York State that will be carried overwhelmingly by Hillary Clinton. And should I be in the swing state, then I'd really be up in the air. I wouldn't want to be the one vote that could have kept Donald Trump from getting into the White House. But I don't have to worry about that. So cast my vote for none of the above. Now, here's a song that was introduced by an 18-year-old from South Philadelphia at the Rainbow Club in Wildwood in 1960.
Like that. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets
Well, that's Memorial Day show. It's a bit of commercial information. My column now appears bi-weekly in the Westchester Guardian, along with regular columns by Congressperson and co-chair of my 11th Commission, Lee Hamilton, including John Simon. The Westchester Guardian is available in print format and online at www.westchesterguardian.com. And Westchester Guardian is W-E-S-T-C-H-E-S-T-E-R, guardian.com. My books are available at Amazon and iBlog at medium.com and at blogger.com. Please send in any comments to me about the columns, about the blog, or about the daily newspaper, which I hope you'll all take a look at, or about this radio show to me at johnmack13@gmail.com. And in the words the Mets radio announcer Howie Rose, after the Mets win, put it in the book. I hope you'll join us this next week for my show with Joseph Davidson, CEO and president of the Davidson Computing Group. And I was a very close friend to Joe's father, George Davidson, both in my first job on Wall Street at Dean Witter & Company, and I worked for George, or with George, at his two of his companies, and did some consulting work for his son Joseph at the successor to the last company. George was the gentleman, and we'll speak about him personally and his impact on Wall Street, and we'll go through Joe's plans as he transitioned the firm in a different direction. Tonight's show, as I mentioned at the start, was our first recorded show. I hope it didn't go off with too many hitches. But no matter what it did, I can say that for the first time in a recording show, in the words of the chairman of the board.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times.
Spring will soon be gone.